Thank you. All right, so I'll try to not prove anything and give you a sense of sort of the flow of ideas. I mean, if I'm proving some little bit, it's just to give you like some notion of what happens. Not really detailed proofs. Okay, so quadratic forms over Q. Okay, so the most basic quadratic form is qxy equals x squared plus y squared. So I'll define quadratic forms later, but why is this of interest? So there's a claim by Fermat in 1640, which says that if you take, so let P be an odd prime, then P is equal to x squared plus y squared for xy, for some xy in z, so for some integers xy, if and only if P is 1 mod 4. So all this means is that P minus 1 is divisible by 4. Okay, so this was claimed by Fermat and proved then by Euler about 100 years later. Then, you know, different proofs have been given by many people. Okay, so you can ask this question, or is P, can you write P in that form for integers x, y? Or you can ask the same question for rational numbers. So is P equal to x squared plus y squared for x, y, and z? Or for some x, y, and z. Or you can ask, is P equal to x squared plus y squared for, x, y, and q. So clearly, if the thing above holds, then the thing below holds, because integers are rational numbers. But in general, if you have some random quadratic form here, and I realize I haven't told you what those are yet, the upwards implication doesn't hold, but this is true in this case. So keep it in mind that that's generally not true if I change this quadratic form. Okay, so now this is the kind of question that I will sort of focus on. Can I represent a number by a quadratic form? And for me, x and y will be rational numbers. Okay, so what are quadratic forms? So a quadratic form, let me write it, over Q is a homogeneous polynomial in whatever n variables of degree 2 and with rational coefficients. So let me give you an example, and then I'll explain what all these things mean. So, we already saw an example. Another example. minus 3z squared. So homogeneous, polynomial just means that I'm not dividing by anything. Homogeneous means that the degree of every sort of product of variables is 2. What do I mean by that? So I think of each variable as having degree 1, and then when I multiply 2 variables, the degrees add. So here it's 2 times 1, so 2. 2 times 1, 1 plus 1, so 2. If I didn't have that, then this would not be a homogeneous polynomial. So I have it, it's, and the degree is 2, because each sort of product of variables has degree 2. So that's what homogeneous means, that's what degree 2 means. Rational coefficients, we are all on board with. Okay, so in general, I'll be working with some quadratic form in n variables. And I'll write this quadratic form as, so sum aij, so these are rational, and it will have, so aij is the coefficient of this product of these two variables, ij, and I and j go both from 1 to n, but I don't want to consider, say, the product x1, x2, and then x2, x1, because that should have a fixed coefficient next to it. So you see here, I'm not considering plus zx. If I have plus zx, I just write 2xz there. So I to make sure that I don't do funny stuff, I write, let's say, I less or equal to g, j. Okay, so what do I want to do with this now? I want to study this question of, so a question like this. If I have a particular quadratic form and you give me some rational number or integer, I want to be able to answer the following question. Can my number be represented by this quadratic form? So let me just give you sort of a precise definition. So if I have some rational number in Q, I say that this number is represented by the quadratic form if there exists some rational number C1 through CN in all in Q, so such that when I evaluate my quadratic form at these rational numbers, I get A. Okay, so nothing strange. So let's say the question, like you give me a specific question. So give me a prime, any prime.
3.
A little bigger.
37.
Okay. Is that represented? By Q of xy equals x squared plus xy plus y squared. Okay, so that's a quadratic form, and I want to know. And over, so here represented over Q. By over Q, that refers to the fact that I want these to be rational numbers. Fine. So now, to answer this question, I don't really work with one quadratic form at a time. I put quadratic forms in groups. Why is that? So so notice the following. If I have a quadratic form Q, so given to me like that, I can associate to this quadratic form a matrix. So it's going to be an n by n matrix, and it has coefficients. So the diagonal coefficients are exactly the coefficients that correspond to the squares that show up in my form. So in here, it would be 1, 1. So right, I'll do it. I'll do the whole process in this specific example later. Okay, and so those are the diagonal terms. And now for the ijth term here, I put aij over 2. And for the jith term here, I put, again, aij over 2. Okay, so it's by construction a symmetric matrix. And again, by construction, it has rational coefficients. So in so it's an n by n matrix with rational coefficients. Okay, so fine. And notice, so certainly it's easy to go down if you give me this. I've just described how I can go down. If you give me the quadratic form, I can build the matrix. Now, literally, if you give me the quadratic, the matrix, and it's a symmetric matrix, any symmetric matrix, I can go up. So put the diagonal terms to correspond to products xi, xi, and then take the upper part and multiply by 2, and you construct the form. So, however, there's another way to go up. So Q, as it turns out, is equal to m q times x1. So if you multiply these matrices out, you'll get this quadratic form. Okay, so now here is that sort of the first thing. And the second thing to notice, if, let's say, I construct another symmetric matrix in the following way. So you'll see in a second why I'm denoting it like this. So I take my MQ, I take some invertible matrix, n by n matrix, and I write it like this. So I have my quadratic form Q, I construct its matrix. I pick some n by n invertible matrix and do this multiplication. I will get some other matrix. This thing that I've just constructed is symmetric because this is symmetric, and when you do this sort of process, you get another symmetric matrix. Because this is a symmetric matrix, it has some quadratic form that corresponds to it. And so I'm denoting that quadratic form by Q prime. So if you have that, then some number A in Q is represented by, so I'll skip over Q, but it's there all the time. It's represented by the form Q1 through, so by the quadratic form QX1 through XN, if and only if it is represented by the new form Q prime. So that's a fact, and okay, so to see why this is, so this is a little proof, I guess. So I want to be able to go up and down, so let me do the going up. So proof, how do I go up? So if A is equal to Q prime, x1 through xn. That means that A is x, m q, x transpose, I'll say what that is, mq prime times x, where x is just x1 through xn. Yeah, so here, this is x, that's x transpose. Okay, so now mq prime is this product. So this is X transpose, A transpose, M Q A X, and that is A X transpose M Q A X again. So when I say that A is represented by Q prime, I mean that there are some rational values here so that this holds. Now, I got this equality, so A equals that. This is some element of Qn multiplied by a matrix with rational coefficients. You get another element in Qn. So that says this: the fact that A equals this tells you that A is represented by Q. And to go the other way, so to go down, you use the fact that A is invertible. So you can flip this. You can switch the places of Q and Q prime because A is invertible. And I won't go through that. It's the same argument. Fine. So let me do this concretely to answer that question, this question here. So what are these matrices A that show up there? So we want to know if 37 is represented by that form, QXY equals X squared plus XY plus Y squared. The matrix that corresponds to this is... So can somebody tell me what this matrix is? Okay. So 1, 1, those go in the diagonal. This is, the coefficient here is 1, so 1 over 2 and 1 over 2 go here. Okay, so now this is MQ. You can write MQ as 1, 1, 0, 0, times 1, 1 over 2, 1, and 1, well, this transpose. So how did I know that? So this is really my matrix A. And you can easily see that this is invertible. So it's an element of GL, whatever. So how did I come up with this? Well, you can write this. So I sort of want to get rid... Well, you'll see later why I'm saying that, but I sort of want to get rid of this XY. So I write what I have here as X plus Y over 2 squared plus, so what do I have now? I didn't quite do this right. Let me change this because I don't want to mess around with numbers. What was this question? So let me say plus 5 over 4. Okay? This is something funny, but okay. So then here, 5 over 4. And that's very... okay. All right, so... Now, this quadratic form, so you see, here I have a new matrix. I'll call this MQ prime. And what is the quadratic form that corresponds to Q prime? So Q prime of XY is X squared plus Y squared now. So these two quadratic forms are equivalent. So if 37 is represented by this form, then it's represented by my original form. So is 37 represented by this form? Why is that? So it's 1 mod 4. So 37 is represented by Q prime. So it's represented. So the answer to my question is yes. Okay? So that's the sort of thing. This is why I don't want to work with one quadratic form, because it's sort of doing useless work when I'm trying to answer a question about representation of integers by rationals. Okay, so now when two quadratic forms are related in this way, that their matrices are related like this for some matrix A, then I call these quadratic forms equivalent. And I work with, so I sort of, for to start with, I have the set of all quadratic forms. Then I group them into forms that are equivalent to one another. So if two forms are equivalent to one another, all of a sudden for me they are sort of the same thing. So I put them in one bag. So I create sort of, I break my set in sets of quadratic, sets of equivalent quadratic forms. And I think of one set at a time when I'm answering a question of representation by, of integers by quadratic forms. Okay. Fine. Okay, so let me write that. So if MQ is equal, or MQ, whatever, MQ prime is equal to A MQ A for some A in GL N. So this is in N variables. And I want rational coefficients. Okay, and I write, so the notation is that Q is equivalent to Q prime. And now we want to work with these sets, which I'm calling equivalence classes. Okay, so study quadratic forms. Up to equivalence. So this equivalence up here. All right. So now you have to think about the equivalence classes and sort of try to understand what separates two equivalence classes. Because to start with, when you have two quadratic forms, you just look at their coefficients and say, are they the same or are they different? But now, two quadratic forms may look different, but from the point of view of my question, which is, do they represent the same integers, they may look different, but they are not different in terms of what the answer that I'll get. Okay, so if you have these two quadratic forms, Q equivalent to Q prime, then if you look at the determinant of this matrix, Q prime, MQ prime rather, this is equal to, so the matrix itself is equal to A transpose MQ times A. And so that, well, whatever. This is equal to the determinant of A squared times the determinant of MQ. Yep, so you just break this up. It's the determinant of A transpose, determinant of MQ, determinant of A, but the determinant of A transpose has the same, is equal to the determinant of A. So that's why you get this. So now, let me denote by, so, and like if I have a quadratic form, like I'll denote like this the equivalence class. So the set of quadratic forms that are equivalent to Q. So now to this equivalence class of quadratic forms, I associate this notion of the determinant of Q, of MQ rather, which I'm calling discriminant, because I don't really, the determinant of MQ will change when I go from, so here I'm thinking, so both Q and Q prime are in here. And the determinant of MQ is different from the determinant of MQ prime. There's some factor here. But I view this number as an element of Q mod. So I want to factor out objects like this. So I take, so what's this? This is some rational number, and it's non-zero. So I take Q, and I mod out by squares of non-zero rational numbers. So let's say 5 is the same as 20. Yeah, because the quotient is 4, and it's in here. So to me, that once I view them, so if this number turned out to be 5, then I, when I think of the discriminant of Q, for me, 5 is the same as 20. Okay, so, all right, and so that's sort of one invariant that you associate to these equivalence classes of quadratic forms. So notice now, if you have two quadratic forms that do not lie in the same equivalence class, can they have the same discriminant? So, a priori, yes. If you have, so if they lie in the same equivalence class, they must have the same discriminant. But you can't use this to separate. So it's sort of, it's an invariant, but it's not going to tell apart any two equivalence classes. Okay, so what else can I say about equivalence classes? So for now, I've just taken an equivalence class and I've associated to it a number mod squares. Another thing that you can say about equivalence classes, which sort of showed up here, is that every equivalence class of quadratic forms over Q contains a diagonal form, a diagonal quadratic form. So what do I mean by that? You see, changing from one quadratic form to another is really just done by it's a change of variables. That's what this matrix A is doing. It's changing variables. So by a diagonal quadratic form, I just mean something like this. A1 x1 squared plus A2 x2 squared plus all the way through. There are no terms xi, xj, where I is different from j. And these AIs are rational. Okay, so how do I know that? So you saw sort of the process here. So if I have a term xy, and in there, in the expression of my quadratic form, I have an x squared, this kind of process gets rid of xy. Now, let's say I have the quadratic form x, just xy. How do I make it into a diagonal form? Does anybody see that? No, I don't want to change. I can change variables, but I cannot change the form. So this is a perfectly fine quadratic form. It has, it's a homogeneous polynomial of degree 2. Any thoughts? Yes.
X minus y y squared plus x plus y squared with some constant.
Yes. So you can write x, let's say, as x1 plus x2. And you can write y as x1 minus x2. And now this is going to become x1 squared plus x2 squared, or minus, rather. Now, figure out what... what they have to be. I can't introduce new variables, right? So what's x1 in terms of x and y? And what is x2 in terms of x and y? Yeah? Okay. So, okay, every quadratic form, let me just get rid of this. Every quadratic form can be written as every equivalence class has a diagonal form like this. So even that is not unique, right? Because I can take this and multiply it by q squared, and I won't change the equivalence class. I'll not dwell on that. So, you see, here I said there is a quadratic form, there is a diagonal form like this, and the AIs are in Q, because that's sort of the first thing you get. But you can assume that the AIs are actually in Z, because let's say these are rational. Let's say D is some common denominator of the coefficients. I multiply by D squared, I'm not leaving the equivalence class of quadratic forms. Prove, like if you want to think about it, prove that d squared q is equivalent to q. Well, how do you prove that? This has some matrix mq that corresponds to it. This has some matrix md squared q. What is the relation? Okay. So now the question that we want to ask is the following. You can ask all sorts of different questions with these quadratic forms, but I want, if you give me, a priori, the question is, if you give me a rational number, I want to know if it's represented by this form. But I don't really need to think about rational numbers. I can switch from a rational number. Let's say one of you says, does this form represent 3 over 2? Or whatever. 3 over 2 is a fine rational number. So if I prove that this form represents 3 over 2 times 4, it will have to represent 3 over 2. Because you can always shift by squares. So I can restrict my question to I have some quadratic form, Q x1 through xn. It's sum of ai xi squared, I going from 1 to n, with the ai's integers, and I want to know if this, so let a be an integer, does q represent a over the rationals? If I were to change this, so does q represent a over the rationals means can I find rational numbers xi so that this equality happens. If I were to change this by z, the question would change, the answer would be very different. So, okay. But I have this theorem which will then allow me to just think of integers here, which is helpful for reasons that you'll see in a second. So I'll make a restriction. So I'll assume that all these AIs are non-zero. Yeah, because if they're zero, I'll just drop them all, stop thinking about my xn. That's the same as, so what's the discriminant of this form? So the discriminant was the determinant of that matrix. Can anybody see what this discriminant is? Yeah, so that's the same as saying that the discriminant of Q is non-zero. Yeah, and such quadratic forms are called non-degenerate. But from the point of view of representing an integer, it's very natural to sort of think just of non-degenerate, because if xn shows up with 0 in front of it, I just stop thinking of xn. I drop it out. Okay, so now I have, because I'm thinking of non-degenerate quadratic forms, I have this theorem which says that A, so Q is non-degenerate. A is represented by Q x1 through xn if and only if 0 is represented by Q x1 through xn minus a xn plus 1 squared. So this is a new quadratic form now with n plus 1 variables. So you see that if you can find x1 through xn such that a is equal to that, then take the same values for x1 through xn and take set xn plus 1 to be 1. This will be equal to 0. So when one says 0 is represented by a quadratic form, the solution 0, 0, 0 is always going to be there. But I don't allow that as a valid solution. When I say 0 is represented by this, I mean with x1 through xn, xn plus 1, one of them needs to be non-zero. Okay? So otherwise it doesn't. Okay. So now, really, I've reduced this question to thinking, I don't care what happens for every A, I just want 0. I need to know what happens to 0. So really, this theorem already uses the fact that if I have a non-degenerate quadratic form that represents 0, it has to represent every element in my field, so every element of Q. So that's a statement that needs proof. It's not something that I could easily prove here, for example. Okay, so now the question is, does this equal 0 with at least one of the xi's non-zero? But for now, I'm just thinking, is 0 represented by this form? So for me, this whole thing is sum of ai xi to the, squared, and in this particular case, I will go from 1 to n plus 1. So is 0 represented by that? Over Q, everything is over Q. So I'm looking for rational solutions. But when I'm thinking about, is 0 represented by this over Q? That's the same as saying, is 0 represented by this over Z? Because if I have a solution with rational numbers, I can multiply, because this is equal to 0, so I can multiply by the denominators of all the solutions, squared. I'll still get 0 on one side, and I'll get an integer solution. So, the question is, so I have Yeah. The question is there some x1 through xn in z to the n, but I don't want the trivial zero, such that sum of ai xi squared is equal to zero. I goes from 1 to n. I don't care. You know, if you answer it for n, you have answered it for n plus 1. Okay. So now I'm looking for integer solutions. If this has a solution over z, it certainly has a solution over... So now I sort of test. I try to see if such a thing exists. Solving something over the rationals, let alone over the integers, is much harder than solving something over the reals. So I test, I look at, does this happen over R? Can you see when this happens over R? Sorry? Either, so if the coefficients, you see, because I don't want all the xi's to be zero. So if the coefficients are all negative or all positive, then I'm in trouble. Then there's no way I'll be able to have this side equal to zero with a non-zero solution here. So a solution exists if and only if A1, so I'm all along I'm assuming that this is non-degenerate. The AIs are non-zero. Yeah? A1 through AN do not have the same sign. So just like you cannot, over the reals, you cannot express zero as x squared plus y squared for x and y real numbers. Because x squared, if x and y are real, x squared and y squared are going to be real, and then, so if they're not both positive, they're going to give you a strictly positive number, so you are not getting zero when you sum here. Okay, so fine, that's the story over the reals. So you see, it's a very simple story over the reals. Now, so for every prime, I test this mod p. So I try to find so why is it easier mod p than over the integers? Well, mod p, I have each xi can take p values. Mod p means that, you know, I have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to p, and then p is the same as 0. So if I'm trying to see whether x1 squared minus x2 squared equals 5, mod 7, say, I look for x1, and I look at what this side, what values this takes for x1 equals 0, 1, 2, 3, all the way through 6, and the same thing for x2, 0, 1, through, and if I get 5, then great, then that's a solution mod 7. So, yeah, I think this through, I'm almost out of time. So, okay, but then that wouldn't, so a solution mod p may exist, but the solution mod p squared may not. So I check. But you see, if you have a solution over the integers, you will have a solution mod p. You will have a solution mod p squared, p cubed, and so on. So mod every power of p for every prime. Fine. So moreover, these solutions have a nice property. So a solution mod p to the n gives you a solution mod p to the n minus 1. just by take the solution, view it mod p to the n minus 1, and you'll get a solution mod p to the n minus 1. So having such a thing, having a solution mod p to the n for every n, like this, says that you have a solution, so this thing here has a solution in ZP. So what's ZP? So ZP is, it's exactly this kind of thing. So to go down, you do mod p to the n minus 1. So what are the elements of ZP? I have, so you think of ZP as Z mod p squared, all the way, you know, you have some z mod p to the n at some point, and then you keep going. And you go on to infinity. So what do I mean by that? The elements of ZP are, to give you an element of ZP, I have to give you an element in each of these components. So I have A1, A2, all the way AN, and I keep going. And they have to be related in the following sense, just like here. So AN has to be equal to AN minus 1 mod P to the N minus 1. So just an example of an element of Z5. So I'll start. So let's say I have 3 here. So this is my A1. Can you give me something up here? Anything works. Anything that's, so, but this has to be an element of Z mod 25. That's 3 mod 5.
8.
Now add, so how did you get this one? You added 5. You could have added 10 if you wanted, but okay. So now I add, what do I add now?
50 or 25.
Sorry?
50 or 25 is like
50. Okay, 58. And you keep on going. So that's one way of creating an element of, so this thing is an element of Z mod 5. Okay, so the solution here will consist of element xi, which are, each of those are sequences like this. So now, here is the theorem. That is the local to global principle that I wanted to mention. It's called the Hasse-Minkowski theorem. Okay, so a quadratic form Q x1 through xn represents, with rational coefficients, represents zero over Q if it represents zero over the reals. So when I look at, you know, when I'm just looking for xi's real numbers, this has to have a solution, not a surprise. And over, just to be sort of precise, QP for every P. So what's QP? Well, here I was talking about ZP. This, so just like Z, you can add two elements. This is sort of this is very similar to Z. You can add two elements, but then if you try to divide, you're not going to necessarily land back in there. So you go from, just like you go from Z to Q, you go from ZP to QP. And that's, so this is what's called a local to global principle. You have local solutions if and only if you have a global solution. So that, but the moment you ask, say, if I were to change this and put Z there, this wouldn't then be false. Okay? I think I'm out of time, so I'll stop here. But I can tell you more if you have more questions.